Wednesday, February 12th. First reading from Genesis chapter 2, verses 4 through 9 and 15 through 17. At the time when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, while as yet there was no field shrub on earth and no grass of the field had sprouted, for the Lord God had sent no rain upon the earth and there was no man to till the soil, but a stream was welling up out of the earth and was watering all the surface of the ground. The Lord God formed man out of the clay of the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life, and so man became a living being. Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and he placed there the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made various trees grow that were delightful to look at and good for food, with the tree of life in the middle of the garden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Lord God then took the man and settled him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate and care for it. The Lord God gave man this order: "You are free to eat from any of the trees of the garden except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. From that tree you shall not eat. The moment you eat from it, you are surely doomed to die." Haydock Commentary. The breath of life is the soul, created out of nothing and infused into the body to give it life. Eden may be either the name of a country, or it may signify pleasure, and in this sense, Symmachus and St. Jerome have taken it. Paradise lay probably to the east of Palestine, or of that country where Moses wrote. The precise place cannot be ascertained. Some place it in Armenia, others near Babylon. Some assert that this beautiful garden is still in being, the residence of Enoch and Elijah. But God will not permit the curiosity of man to be gratified by the discovery of it. How great might be its extent, we do not know. If the sources of the Ganges, Nile, Tigris, and Euphrates be not now changed, and if these be the rivers which sprung from the fountains of paradise, the garden must have comprised a great part of the world. The tree of life is so called because it had the quality that by eating of the fruit of it, man would have been preserved in a constant state of health, vigor, and strength, and would not have died at all. The serpent falsely attributed to the tree of knowledge the power of imparting a superior kind of knowledge beyond that which God was pleased to give. Of what species these two wonderful trees were, the learned are not agreed. The tree of knowledge could not communicate any wisdom to man, but by eating of its forbidden fruit, Adam dearly purchased the knowledge of evil, to which he was before a stranger. Some say it was the fig tree, others an apple tree. But it probably agreed with no species of trees with which we are acquainted, nor was there perhaps any of the same kind in paradise. When God tells Adam that he will surely die if he eats of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it means the death of the soul, that he shall become immortal and lose all the privileges of innocence. Though Adam lived 930 years after this, he was dying daily. He carried along with him the seeds of death, as we do, from our very conception. He had leave to eat of any fruit in this delicious garden, one only excepted, and this one prohibition makes him more eager to taste of that tree than all of the rest. So we struggle constantly to attain what is forbidden and covet what is denied. God laid this easy command upon Adam to give him an opportunity of showing his ready obedience and to assert his own absolute dominion over him. Eve was already formed and was apprised of this command, and therefore transgressing is justly punished with her husband. True obedience does not inquire why a thing is commanded, but submits without demur. Would a parent be satisfied with his child if he should refuse to obey because he could not discern the propriety of the restraint? Even when the sin is remitted, as it was to Adam, the penalty is not of course released, as some have pretended. This also clearly appears in baptized infants who suffer the penalties due to original sin as much as those who have not been baptized. If on this occasion Eve had alone transgressed, as she was not the head, her sin would have hurt only herself. But with Adam, the representative of all his posterity, God made a sort of compact, giving him to understand that if he continued faithful, his children should be born in the state of innocence like himself, happy and immortal, to be translated in due time to a happier paradise. But if he should refuse to obey, his sin should be communicated to all his race, who should be by nature children of wrath. The Gospel from Mark chapter 7, verses 14 through 23. Jesus summoned the crowd again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. Nothing that enters one from outside can defile that person, but the things that come out from within are what defile." When he got home away from the crowd, his disciples questioned him about the parable. He said to them, "Are even you likewise without understanding? Do you not realize that everything that goes into a person from outside cannot defile, since it enters not the heart but the stomach, and passes out into the latrine?" Thus he declared all foods clean. "But what comes out of the man, that is what defiles him. From within the man, from his heart, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from within, and they defile. Haydock Commentary. Jesus Christ by no means prohibits fasting and abstinence from certain food and at certain times, or he would have been immediately accused of contradicting the law. He only says that food which they esteem unclean does not of itself and by its own nature defile the soul, which is what the Pharisees, and before them Pythagoras, and after them the Manichaeans, maintained, and which St. Paul warmly confutes in 1 Timothy 4:4. If a man gets intoxicated, adducing this same plea that it is not what enters the mouth that defiles, is not the answer obvious, that it is not the wine, but the intemperance contrary to the law of God which defiles him? For drunkards shall not possess the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6:10.